Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He has great things to say and great things in store, and He's doing great things now. We are in the middle of a revival like none other since God created man. And He's concealed it from mainstream because they love, you know, God is very particular about who represents Him. He wants people that love Him to represent Him. And He knows how to get things done. He can do things in ways that people don't expect. And He can hide pride from man. People can get in pride over what they do, how they look, their position, and it causes them to be opposite of God. And it gives Satan an unnecessary advantage. Back in Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord blinded Israel. And it goes back to the judges. See, Joshua did his part. He lived 110 years and he died. But he made Israel promise and vow. He gave them strict instructions about driving out the Canaanites. And only Judah and Simeon won 7 battles. The tribes of Judah and Simeon. Others won battles, but they also compromised. And Judah became the strongest nation in Israel. And it took a long time for Judah to fall and collapse. And Judah didn't really collapse until Jehoshaphat's son married Ahab's daughter. That's when they started turning. And they started having evil kings after Jehoshaphat. And it was too far gone by the time Josiah was king. Josiah, he had to find the writings of the prophets. He had to find the Bible, basically. He found a book, and it had prophecies in it. If you got to find a Bible, you're in bad shape. You just, you know, that's compromise gone to seed, basically. When something go to seed, it's already a weed. Now it's got seeds. You're going to have a terrible abundance of weeds. Well, their compromise turned them into a nation full of idolaters. See, one generation sets the pace for another. Joshua set the pace for the judges. All the judges had to do was not fail. You can't drive out the enemy if you think like him. And it wasn't easy. But that's where it doesn't matter how hard and difficult and impossible something is. You can't look at the task. You have to look at the Lord. If you look at the Lord and give Him your full attention, He will show you how to do your part, which will set things in motion so that He can do more through you. That's why people have to follow God. There is no other way to do this. If God is not steadily directing you in life, you're not doing His perfect will. That's just not going to happen through you. You have to be guided by the Holy Spirit. You have to do precisely what He's doing. And you have to grow from glory to glory. If that's not in place, following God will not be in place. And you will not be like Judah. When they were winning, they won 7 battles, and Caleb's daughter asked for a southland. I mean, she inherited a southland, and she wanted springs of water. Now, after the victory, Caleb was able to give her what she asked for. It wasn't a problem. If you do what God say do, you can live in victory. And some people don't think it's possible to live in victory. You can get to a point where you live in victory. But you got to drive out all the distractions first. Everything, lay aside every weight and sin. See, some things that's weights are not sins. You got to lay them aside. You can't change focus. You got to look at Him. And I believe in asking questions. If I'm going to cooperate, I got to be on board with God. I got to be in full agreement. I got to trust Him. See, trusting helps you to maneuver into places you wouldn't normally go. The Lord say, well, I want you to do this now. He got me, there are times in my life He's got me to a certain stage, and then He'll change up on me, and I have to change up with Him. Just because I'm not used to it don't give me a right not to change up with Him. But because of the past, I trust Him. He's never led me wrong. And it's always a challenge to step up, to do something new to you. When He would tell me to do something that was new to me, I didn't always jump on board. Sometimes I failed. And it was a pivotal time. But I went home and regrouped and came back. Now, you don't want to miss a visitation. Some things are so important, and the Lord will tell you what to do. And you have to trust Him on it and do it and see it through. And then when, you know, you may not have time to go home and regroup. So I thought about this. I said, well, I don't want to do that again. After I told God I'd follow Him. In the early days, I made myself obey when I didn't know what to do. But after, you know, that was a situation, the Lord told me to do something. And He changed up, and I didn't know it. And I wasn't comfortable. And I failed. And I went home and asked questions because, I thank God for His grace and mercy. He showered me with it. But I fully wanted to do what He said to. And I didn't give the person that word because God changed up on me. I wasn't used to how He was going to do it. But learning to trust God is very important. So now I have to be ready for whatever. God might change up on me. I don't care no more. Because I use my countermeasures. I started confessing that I would do all that's in His heart. So when He give me something that's strange to me, I'll jump on it. I won't fail. I won't falter and go and do something else. I'll do precisely what He said. And guess what? It works. It works good. I still do it because God might do something that I'm not familiar with. Now, when you believe God, you're taking Him at face value. If a man can take an old serpent, Osiris serpent, at face value, he got to take God at face value and believe Him. Sometimes you have to believe God without the past. That's the difference. You know, trust is based on the past. Because God told you something and you do it, you trust Him based on what happened in the past. But when you believe Him, you trust Him without the past. And that's even more beautiful. You're taking Him at face value. You know, Moses is walking along and here's a burning bush. That's who you serve. God can do things that get to get your attention. And you got to go with Him. Throw down your staff, Moses. The staff turned to a serpent. Pick it up by the tail. That's the wrong way to pick up a snake. And it turned into a staff. You got to trust Him. He can use you for greater things, but you got to trust him. You can't look at the task at hand. You can't look at the contrary people. God will give you what to do. All he needs is somebody who loves him. Somebody who walk in love. Somebody who obey him. Somebody who will do his will. Somebody that will write him a blank check. Somebody that will do all that he say. Somebody that will walk the line and not get on tangents. And that's another thing. I used to get concerned. What if I get off on a tangent? I've seen preachers do it, pastors do it, people do it. Whole churches get off on a tangent. And man, that can happen, and that's not easy to deal with. If you get off on a tangent, how can you tell when you're off on the tangent? Well, the word that comes from God is first pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated. When God tells you to do something, it's not going to defy the Proverbs. It's not going to defy your relationship of the Psalms. It's not going to defy what Jesus said. Whether it was the Sermon on the Mount or the address to the seven churches, it's going to be in full compliance with the Word of God. It's going to be in full compliance with Genesis, what God did in the beginning. Some people teach authority, but authority will not work if you're in agreement with the enemy. You disqualify your authority if you get in pride. You're disqualified if you're greedy. You're disqualified if you're in lust. Now, the enemy will act like it's working. So you can't go by the demons you cast out. You can't go by anything but the Word of God. It's crazy how I learned it. I learned this portion of authority through James Robinson. When he was committing adultery in those years, he talked about how he overcame. A man prayed for him. He got free. He became free. He got off balance. He got off track. He got on the broad road. And he was still preaching. And he was having an affair. But he... excuse me. And the Lord moved in one of the meetings he was holding. But he had enough sense to ask the Lord. Excuse me. He said, "Lord, why did you move in that meeting like that? And you know I wasn't right with you." And the Lord said, "The devil's fooling you, boy." And he said, when the people came to church, the enemy backed off to mimic a true move of God. And they had a high time in worship without interference from Satan. They didn't break through in worship. They worship without interference. You can't. Satan can play some serious tricks to keep you off track. You'll be on a tangent, think you got authority, and you don't have authority. Then people die and they get snatched into hell with their authority, with the authority that they thought they had. They're falling through and rebuking Satan in Jesus' name, and it's all over because they were way off track. See, what Jesus said, many will come to me saying, "Lord, Lord," and I'll say, "I never knew you." See, this is consistent. This don't happen in one day. You know, at the judgment it happens, but it also happened in the lives of every individual. People who are right with God go to heaven. People that are off track and on tangents, they don't go to heaven. Now, I'm talking about when people are in sin. When they're on a tangent and they're in sin, they go to hell. But teaching-wise, sometimes you teach what you used to, teach how you learn, teach what you know about. But when you grow from glory to glory, God's going to introduce you to things you may not know about. And you can have so much conviction in what you're teaching that the teaching becomes more important than your relationship with the Father. That's how people get off on a tangent. When you follow God, everything's restored. Everything is being restored. Wherever you're not in balance, the Lord's going to bring you back to balance. As long as you're growing. Some things are so amazing and fascinating that it's easy to get to focus on them. And it can be very difficult. I sympathize with people when they do get off on tangent. I don't bash them. If people are, you know, the disciples, they were steadily learning from the Lord. Then here comes some people that was trying to rebuke the enemy, and Jesus said, "Leave them alone. They're for us." Some people might not have it quite together, but they're for Jesus, and God can use them. They'll grow from glory to glory if they keep following it. Never look down your nose at people, because if they keep on following God, they'll get there before you sometime. You know, there were preachers that had to be patient with me. I kept growing, I kept learning, I kept endeavoring. And the Lord would cause me to say things beyond my years that would provoke them. I could see it in their countenance. I didn't understand why. I expected people to rejoice, not get jealous. Just because you say something beyond your years, that doesn't mean you're professional at it. That just means the Lord used you somewhere, and He calls you to say something beyond your years. But I learned to go and ask the Lord questions and get a good grip on it. You know, the Lord is good. He's good that way. He can cause you to say something as you minister to others. Rivers of living water flowing from you. You're a vessel. Then I go back and, you know, the well of living water. I say, "Lord, now you just had me to say this. That's astonishing. Show me more about it." Every time the Lord do a miracle, or help me grow, or teach me something I didn't know, I go and ask questions. And it's all right to ask your pastor about what God showed you. I used to ask Elder Lewis all kind of stuff as I was learning and as I was growing. And other pastors, we have conversations. And my friend Odie, I tell him, you know, all kind of stuff. We were neighbors and we would talk all the time. Pastors are very busy people, but me and Odie, we would talk. He'd tell me what he was learning and how he learned. I'd tell him what I learned. We were having church in the yard. We seen miracles in that yard too, working on cars and talking about the Lord. I love it. Can't get enough. God is good. When you don't be, and the things that go wrong, don't be afraid of tangents. Don't be afraid of going off on a tangent. God can bring you back to balance so easy. And sometimes the need is relevant, and God is using you heavily in one area, and that happens too. And I say, "Lord, now, am I off on, if help me not get off on a tangent. If I do, I want to know it." And sometimes people really need the message you got. And you can seem off balance, but that doesn't mean you're off balance. But the thing is to look to the Lord. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. You don't have to be like others. You can drive out the Canaanites, so to speak. Israel was a weak nation. It became a very weak nation that God had to judge. If God had to blind the whole nation, now he blinded it, Isaiah blinded the nation in chapter 6, and in Isaiah chapter 27 through 30 explains why, how it would be life, everyday life in Israel. You know, the educated people couldn't understand the word of God anymore. The uneducated people couldn't understand it either. No, it was sealed against them because they never repented from their idolatry. But the remnant that did was always relevant. They always had miracles in small circles, just like now. When mainstream get on a tangent, you can be on board with God and be part of the great revival that's currently happening. And you'll exercise that revival through prayer, your authority, real authority. You'll be relevant. God will give you what to say to keep people. People are making Holy Ghost YouTube videos, Facebook, Holy Ghost Facebook presentations. People are typing up what God has given them, and it's going viral because there is a great revival now. People are being corrected that were definitely off on tangents. God can't use them in the revival because they are on a tangent. And they got to get rid of the pride and the greed, things that attach them to Satan. You can't win against Satan if you think like him. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.